Sometimes there are things that are big. You know, two and Jessica, I was discipling two, or disciple, I was hanging out with two a long time ago. We were sitting at Pete's Coffee before I got rid of it. And we were sitting at Pete's Coffee, and, you know, I said, I had my Bible with me. I said, here, I got to go to the restroom. Read this while I'm gone. So I went to the bathroom, came back, and two had opened it up, you know, waiting for me. And he said, I said, so what did you read? He said, I read that Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still. And he said, you know, it really speaks to me because we always pray small. We're afraid to pray big. But Joshua asked God to make the sun stand still. We should not be afraid to dare to ask God for big things. Lord, do this in the United States of America if it's your will. Again, I'm not bossing him around, but maybe he'll put something on your heart. I pray for Mr. Netanyahu all the time. And if, so don't limit your prayers. Pray for leaders. We are to pray for kings and those in authority. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, 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 much. You have been given great power in prayer because you serve a great God who will change the weather if he has a mind to. I believe the reason that the last drought was broken is people prayed. Now, we might be getting into another one. I hope not. But prayer makes such a difference. When I came to Chico 5 years ago, this city was on the verge of being bankrupt. We couldn't afford our police department. We couldn't afford, because of the pensions. But God gave us, we currently have a Christian mayor, a Christian city manager, finance director, and these guys did some good things. And it's still tight, it's still difficult. But, you know, we were that close to being like Stockton, bankrupt. But people prayed. And I remember standing in the plaza, you know, every year we go to the plaza for the National Day of Prayer. But I think that was the best year we ever had, maybe 3 or 4 years ago. We were standing there two years ago, and we were all giving thanks that God had brought rain. Remember that drought? It wasn't that long ago. We were also giving thanks that the city was not in debt anymore. Steve, you know about that. You used to work for the city, right? You know all those things. You used to have that job. And so prayer makes such a difference. Prayer makes such a difference for cities, for nations, whether it's, and most of all, for spiritual things. That that person would be saved. That person would come to Christ. We are to be a people of prayer. And when you discover that, you'll find, hey, I want to go to prayer meetings. I want to have a prayer meeting. Let's pray. You should be part of a prayer meeting somewhere. Each one of you should have at least one group that you go to where you pray. If you can't come into my living room on Saturday morning, fine. You should have a prayer group. Everybody needs a prayer group. Get with somebody, meet with somebody on a regular basis. Hey, let's meet for prayer. Because it's so wonderful. It's so refreshing. And you don't have to have a time glass on it. We meet for an hour, but I mean, you could say even half an hour. But say, I'm going to meet with this person for prayer. Because as you do, it's just talking to God. It's just talking out loud to God. And pretty soon, you're not strange. Maybe some of you are shy about that right now. Let me tell you don't need to be. God wants to hear from you. And it's just wonderful to sit with other believers and pray. Let's pray for CIF. And Lord, I pray for Pastor Roger. Amen. You know, so I'm just kidding. I need prayer. But we should be praying for each other. And you guys are prayed for every Saturday morning. As God gives me the names of, you know, Jane and Marjorie and others that come. And we love to do that. We love to pray for you guys. Because we know that you're in battles just like us. I've pastored a lot of churches. And this church actually got a lot of problems with commitment. I don't mean to be unkind to anybody. I love you all. But I've never seen such difficulty at being committed. And I think it's, and not correcting you, I love you. I think it is the era we live in. I think we are in the last days. And people, we're all in a spiritual battle. Don't you know that? You're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. You're in a battle. And I say this tenderly. I'm preaching to the choir because you're all here. But the safest place actually in that battle is to be here. Stay in fellowship. You all know some people that have, you see them once and then they come back 4 months later. And I'm not referring to anybody. I promise I'm not aiming this. This has been on my heart. Trust me. And I'm thinking, I actually think there's some other people today that I love. And I want to see them here regularly because I want you guys to be spiritually healthy. I love you all. That's all I want to say on that. So, the power of prayer. Verse 19. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. So you know how that is. Someone gets away from the truth and they're no longer walking in the right direction. Maybe they're caught in a sin. And you go, hey, can I talk to you? Bring him back. You help encourage him to come back. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6 real quick. Cross-reference, Galatians 6. It's a cross-reference for this particular thought. Galatians 6, verse 1. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you may also be tempted. So, if someone's caught in sin, you who are spiritual, in other words, you guys that are walking with the Lord, you should gently restore him. Notice the term gentle. But be careful that you're not yourself tempted. So, this is the thing about restoring somebody else. Is it, first of all, I have to do it gently. You know, he's struggling, bro, tell me about it. I'll listen. And so the guy says, yeah, I'm struggling with this and that. Don't beat him up for it. Be gentle. Bring him back. Restore him. But be careful that the thing he's struggling with doesn't derail you. You go to this somebody, how you doing? Well, I don't know. I'm having doubts about the faith. And pretty soon, if you're not careful, you're doubting. You don't want to let that happen to you. So when you are restoring someone, don't let yourself be tempted. But just gently, I want to help pull him back, that person back on the right path. And if we do restore someone who's falling into sin or walking away, if we are effective in restoring them, you know, he gets saved from death. That person gets saved from death. Because if you walk away from Jesus Christ, you're separated from God. So if you wander away from the truth, you're lost. If you reject the faith, you're shipwrecked. You've got to hang on to faith. If you don't stand in your faith, you will not stand at all. It says in Isaiah chapter 7. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we bring that person back to the truth, we save him from death, and we cover a multitude of sins, meaning the body of Christ is made healthier. Sometimes you help one person and it rescues 50 people. Because one person caught in sin can do a lot of damage. But if that person is restored, it affects the entire church in a good way, in a good way. So we're in the restoration business. Amen. I want to use my remaining couple minutes with you to change gears if I can. So I think I will just summarize that. I hope I've said it enough times. Repetition is part of what I'm supposed to do. What do we tell me right now without looking down, if anyone is in trouble, what should he do? Okay, you passed that exam. If he's happy, what should he do? Okay. And if he's sick? Yeah, call the elders. If it's a serious illness. Okay. And let's see, through prayer we can do little things or even big things. Which one? Little and big. Right, we can do much. We can do much. So don't aim small. Aim. Pray about whatever God puts on your heart. Now, that said, Lord, thank you for the book of James. Let's pray about it. Father, we'll pray for that first. Lord, thank you that we got to read the entire book of James in this church. It is wonderful. And Lord, we just want to grow in your word, and we want to do what we've heard today. We want to apply it. So I pray for those who might need prayer for sickness, that you would put it on their heart, and we would be able to pray for them. If nothing else, we want to particularly pray for, Lord, for Kaylee and for Liam. So we just lift up that part of our walk with you, the idea of the healing of the sick, that you would empower us to be your instruments in Jesus' name. Amen. Guys, the Lord is coming soon. In Joel chapter 3, verse, you can just listen to this part. Just listen. Joel 3:14 says, multitudes, multitudes are in the valley of decision. The day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, Don't let your heart be troubled. You trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go there, I will come back to you. If it were not so, I would have told you. So Jesus promised, I'm going to come back. I'm going to return to you. Titus chapter 2 says, we are waiting for the blessed hope, the appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, watch and be ready. In an hour you think not the Son of Man will come, as it was in the days of Noah. People were eating, drinking, marrying. Then the flood came, as it was in the days of Lot. And he took Lot out, and he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And Jesus said, when you see the fig tree blossom, you know that summer is near. Guys, Israel just celebrated their 70th anniversary. 70 is the number of a generation. We are near to the coming of Christ. The United States put their embassy in Jerusalem. I hope you got to see the ceremony on TV. If you didn't, you should go to C-SPAN or go to whatever. Go to find it online. The speech of Mr. Netanyahu. You see, in the Word of God, God told Abraham that he was going to make him into a great nation. And he said, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. And the same blessing went from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, who is Israel. And the nation that curses Israel or opposes Israel is in hot water. But the nation that blesses and stands with Israel will receive the blessing of God. It declares in Proverbs 15, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. The United States has lots of problems, and there's plenty of sin in our land. That's for sure. In the last days, terrible times. That's why we have school shootings. In the last days, there will be terrible times. 2 Timothy 3. People will be lovers of themselves, abusive to their parents, and so forth. We are in the last days. The evidence of the coming of Christ is the existence of Israel and the increase of evil. Those are two of the, you go, a huge list beyond that, technology and weapons and all that, but just start with those two. Israel back in the land and the increase of evil. It's been forecast. And we are near the coming of the Lord. And I thank God that the United States has done what it's done in putting the embassy there. Regardless of your politics, I have it kind of firsthand through Dallas, who's running the Billy Graham thing, and he knows that our president has surrounded himself with God-fearing people. Whether he himself is born again, we do not know. I don't know. But he has surrounded himself with God-fearing people. And they have prayer meetings in Washington, D.C. And they have Bible studies in Washington, D.C. Vice President Pence, I think you know, is born again. So it's not a political thing. It's just an observation of what time do we live in right now. Sometimes I just want to not do a Bible study, just get down to church. And I would be a bad pastor. I'm going to talk about some of this tonight at 6 o'clock. I'll do the exact same thing. And in Ezekiel 36, I'll get you out here by 11:30, don't worry. Ezekiel 36, there were dead bones. Remember that story? And the dry bones, and he said, Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he said, you know, Lord. And the bones started coming together, and pretty soon they stood up, and there was he breathed them, and there was life. And he said, these bones are the house of Israel. And the nation came back to life. Wow. You go over to Israel today, I've been there twice. You go into the Holocaust Museum. And you go down the stairs and you see the pictures of what happened in Warsaw, Poland, and what happened in Czechoslovakia. They got the clothes and the films of what Hitler did to 6 million Jews, the babies. You come out, you just want to weep by the time you're out of that thing. Oh, the Holocaust. You come out, and there's that scripture in Ezekiel. Will these bones live? These bones will live. This is the house. God has never taken his hand off Israel. They lost their homeland in 70 AD. Somehow the Yiddish language through Yiddish poetry, they hang on to Hebrew language, and 1900 years later, they're back in the land. No other nation in history has ever lost their land and become a nation again after more than two generations. Only Israel. The fig tree has blossomed. And what happens right after the dry bones live? Chapter 37 of Ezekiel. Chapter 38, the next two chapters, a Russian invasion of Israel. Rosh, Gog, Magog, the land to the north, and cohorts with her, Persia, which is Iran. And it lists the other nations, which some of them were not too definite about, but essentially they're the Eastern Europe, the former Eastern European nations, Kazakhstan and some of the stands over there. And in any case, I'm not going to get too fine of an edge on it right now, but it is reasonable to assume that we are close. Putin and Iran have a pact working with Assad, and Iran is putting bases in Syria, and Israel is forced to shoot at those bases, and drones go back over Israel, and Israel retaliates. And right now, you've got the beginnings of a war between Iran and Israel. And Russia and the United States, it's a little-known thing that we actually fired on some Russian mercenaries. We killed about 300 Russians. And you know how many Russians we've ever killed before? None. It's the first war like that. So things we don't hear about are happening. You know, you're going to hear about Stormy Daniels or something on TV. I don't know. But the fact is, if you look deeper, we are near the coming of the Lord. The things that are happening in the Middle East, it's all aligning. And it doesn't frighten me. Now, I don't know if this Russian invasion of Israel, by the way, they'll be defeated, according to Ezekiel. Russia and this cohort are defeated. And this description in Ezekiel does not seem to fit anything else. Doesn't seem to fit Armageddon. Doesn't seem to have already occurred. Most eschatological, that's a big word, scholars would say that it's still yet to happen. And I believe that the rapture of the church may be first, and then this will happen. But if we see it, let's make sure we look all come together real quick. These things are happening. And the next event really is the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians 4:17, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us that are still living shall be caught up. There's going to be a generation still living. The dead in Christ will precede us, but we who are living will be caught up in the clouds. The word caught up is harpazo in the Greek, or raptus in the Latin Vulgate, and it means to grab by the collar and snatch away suddenly. Jesus is going to take his church. He has not appointed his church under wrath. 1 Corinthians 15:51, I show you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. The church, there's going to be a generation that does not die. Just like Enoch did not die, just like Elijah did not die, there's going to be a generation that is caught up in the twinkling of an eye. And it could happen today. In an hour you think not, the Son of Man will come. It's the blessed hope. Because God has not appointed us unto wrath. Some people think we're going to go into the tribulation and they're all gearing up for suffering. And we're going to be persecuted, yes. That might increase. Persecution is from the devil, but the wrath of God, that's already been taken away at the cross. And the wrath of God is what the seven-year tribulation is. The church is not appointed to go through the tribulation. The rapture comes first. And Jesus is coming. If we had to go through the great tribulation, it wouldn't be a very joyful, blessed hope. Oh, guys, this is great. Aren't you looking forward to the 7 years and those meteorites, those coming down and those little things, demons out of the abyss biting people? God has not appointed us to that. But the world will go through that as God. And I'm telling you right now, the day of the Lord is near. And God is going to bring judgment. It's a dreadful day. And it will fall on all the earth. And it's not my words. It's words of the prophets. Go back and read Joel. Go back and read some of these. The day of the Lord is yet coming. There is a wrath of God against this planet. But God is not wanting that to happen. He's not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. And that's why Franklin Graham's out doing what he's doing. That's why Greg Laurie is going to do his thing in Texas. And that's why all of us must be about the Lord's business. As if he could come the next day. We must be, if ever we want to be evangelizing, this is the time. If ever we want to be sharing our faith. So Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, trust also in me. I wanted to update you on the fact that it's close. We're going to talk more about that tonight at 6 at City Light. That's my little 15 minutes that they're going to give me, and that's what I'm going to talk about. So there's so much more to say on the subject, but be alert to the fact. It's your hope. Let it brighten your day to think, wow, Jesus could come back again today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the blessed hope the appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And there's so much more happening in prophecy now than what I just said. But just even that outline, Lord, stirs our hearts. And so as we see these world events unfurling, may we not be depressed, but may we rather be expectant that you're coming. You're coming. You love your church. You love your bride, and you're coming. Lord, count us worthy to escape the wrath to come and to stand before the Son of Man. Keep us in your mercy until that day. I pray your spirit would fill us. Help us to be like the wise virgins that have extra oil in our lamps. It's not a time to be asleep. It's not a time to be asleep. Fill us with the oil of the Spirit, Lord, and the power of the Spirit. May we be people that are in prayer and in fellowship, living fervently for you. Thank you, God, for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now I have a third sermon. No, I don't. I'm done. Two sermons is enough. Let's all stand. I'm just kidding, you guys.